Welcome back, everybody. Gentlemen, Yomi Tirip to Daf Yud Ches Siman Aleph 18a, and we are in the very bottom of Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. We are in the middle of a discussion about a machlokes, about what amount of schach pasul, of invalid schach, makes something pasul when we're in the middle of the sukkah, and even coming towards the end, this concept of dofen akuma, that we can view the walls as bent if we're within four amos from the wall. So the discussion was, is it four amos, is it four tefachim? This was a whole machlokes. We're going to have one more proof, then we're going to get into a bit of a different topic. So Tashma, coming here, a proof from the following b'raisa. So if someone covered a sukkah with boards of cedar that have a width of four tefachim, everyone agrees that they're going to be pasul. But if the boards do not have a width of four tefachim, Rabbi Meir posts over Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. Rabbi Meir says that they're going to be pasul, and Rabbi Yehuda says that they are going to be good. So Moed Rabbi Meir, but Rabbi Meir agrees, She'im yesh bayin neser lenester kimlo neser, that if between each board there is space that is equal to the width of the board itself, Shemaniach psal b'nehem, that you're able to insert this psal, which is material that is good for schach, between these boards, ukshera, and the sukkah is going to be valid. So bishlam olamad amar bein be'emtza bein minatzar arba amos. So this makes sense according to the shita that says that the psul, in order to have enough pasul schach to go and ruin the sukkah, it's four amos, whether we're at the side of the wall or whether we are in the middle of the wall. So this makes sense, mishum hachikshera. This is why the sukkah is going to be valid, because there's only four tefachim, and then kasher schach elman damar ba'arba be'emtza ba'arba. But according to one who says that a strip of pasul schach in the middle of a sukkah, four tefachim, disqualifies the sukkah, my chair, why would this be kasher? Because a single four tefach wide board should disqualify the whole sukkah. So answer the gemara, no. Amar Ravuna Breider of Yeshua, hacha besukkah de lo havi ela shmona mitzum tzomos askinim. We're talking about a sukkah here that has a width of exactly eight amos. Now it's important to remember that one amma equals six tefachim. So we're dealing with a sukkah that has a total of 48 tefachim, six times eight. And the Yav Nesru Psal, Venesru Psal, Venesru Psal, Mehai Gisa. And there's a board and then Psal, another board and Psal, and then another board and Psal on one side of the Sukkah. And then Venesru Psal, Venesru Psal, Venesru Psal, Mehai Gisa. And then the same thing on the other side. Dehavilahu Shnei Psalim Be'emtza. And therefore, you have two adjacent strips of the Psal, meaning of the Kusher part in the middle of the Sukkah. So it would go like 4, 4, 4, 4. You're going and switching off between bad, good. And then in the middle, there's two goods that are touching each other, which is 8 Tfachim. And therefore, Dehavilahu Shnei Shnei Psalim Be'emtza. You have these two good things in the middle. V'ika hechsher sukkah be'emtza. And therefore, you have enough to have a valid sukkah in the middle of the sukkah, and then it's going to be totally fine. And then everything else, the two corners that would be to the both sides of the middle, those are both within four amos of the wall, and therefore we can definitely apply dofen akuma, and that's why it's going to be totally fine. So that's not a proof either way. Fine. Now we are going to discuss a little bit more about lavud. Again, this is the concept that when we have open airspace in a sukkah, then it's three tefachim is the cutoff point, because within three tefachim, we can assume that it's as if it's closed. So this is what we are going to discuss, and then we'll get back to dofen akuma. Again, that's the concept of the bent wall, where it's within four amos. If there's a psul, we can just assume that the wall is bent, and then the whole thing is going to be kasher. So Amar Abaye Abaye says, Avir Shlosha B'sukkah Gedola. So if there's an open space of three tefachim in a large sukkah, Miyatu Bein Bikanum Bein B'Shaphudin. So you can reduce that gap and put, whether it's kosher schach or not kosher schach, it's going to be totally fine. Have miyat, that is an effective reduction. And now that the gap is less than three fachim wide, it's going to be totally fine. Again, even though you're putting schach puzzle down, you're putting down invalid material for schach, still, that now no longer has the measurement that's enough of open space to go and ruin the sukkah. And it's not enough of invalid schach to go in the sukkah, so that's going to be totally fine. However, besukkah katana. But if we have an open space of three tefachim in a small sukkah, which is 7 by 7 tefachim, as we've explained, but kanam havimir, if you were to go and reduce it with sticks that are kasher schach, that's going to be fine. B'shapudin lo havimir, but if it's with things that are not kasher schach, then that's not going to be okay, because then you don't even have the requisite size that's good enough for a minimum sukkah, whether it's with airspace or whether it's with pasul schach, so it's not going to be good. But comes the Gemara and qualifies these halachos of the lavud of the three tefachim. So it says the Marvahani Mili Minatzad. So these words only apply to a gap that is between the schach and the wall, that it's on the side of the sukkah. Aval be'emtza, but when it comes to the middle, a gap in the middle of the sukkah, pligi bar Rav Acha v'Ravina. Chadamar yesh lavud be'emtza, v'chadamar ein lavud be'emtza. So this machlok is going to take us for most of the yamud. So we say this concept of lavud, when we have something less than three tefachim, that we can consider it as if it's a closed gap. So everyone agrees that this applies by the corners of the sukkah, but by the middle of the sukkah, is this going to apply? So this is a machlokas between Ravacha and Ravina. One says yes, one says no. Now we're going to go through their reason. So my time, a demand damar yesh lavud b'em. So what's the reason according to the person who says that there is lavud in the middle of the sukkah? The town because it's taught in Brisa. Korah hayotza mikol tel zeh. So if you have a korah that is going from one wall of a mabwe and extends across the entire entranceway. So what's this referring to? So dinei derabanan on Shabbos in terms of carrying, there's a lot of them. So one of these isurei derabanan is that the rabbi said that you shouldn't walk in a walled street or an alley or mavoi on Shabbos that's completely opened at the end. And the reason is because it looks like a rishus harabim and you're going to go and mess up and it's going to cause major isurei mida oraisa. So to go and allow this type of carrying in these areas, the rabbanan said that if you have a korah, which is like some sort of beam, or a lechi, like one of these side posts, then it's going to be okay. But the korah should extend across the entire width of the mavoi. So let's say over here we have a situation where we have a korah that goes from one wall of the mavoi, the eno no gas bekotel acher, but it doesn't touch the opposite wall of the mavoi, meaning it stops a little bit short, so there's a little bit of a gap between it and the wall. V'chein shtei korahs, and similarly, if you have two korahs, achas yotze mikotel zeh, v'achas yotze mikotel acher, and one is going from one wall, and the other one's going from the opposite wall, the eno no goes zu bazu, and there's a little bit of a gap. So pachos mishosha, if it's less than three, eno tzarech lavi korah acheres, then you're totally fine, you don't have to worry about anything. But shlosha, if the gap is three tvachim or more, tzarech lavi korah acheres, then you would have to go and bring another korah. What it seems to be clear from this brisa is that the rule of lavud is applying to a gap not just next to a wall, but even in the middle. So this is where they get their sheet of Yidach. And according to the other one, holds that lavud is limited to the walls and it's not for the middle. How does he deal with this brisa? How does he deal with this korah situation? So shiny korah derabanan. He could say, no, that's going to be different because the whole dine korah, this is all dine derabanan. And therefore, if you're going to have a kula and apply lavud in this situation, that's not going to teach me anything about the dine de oraisa of sukkah. Fine. Now what comes the Gemara and tries to get the reason for the other one? My time to demand damar in lavud b'emza. So what's the reason for the person who says that we don't apply lavud when it's in the middle but only next to a wall? It's not because we learned in a Mishnah, and this Mishnah is in Ohalos. Aruba shababayis uba poseach tefach. So in the case of a skylight, there's a skylight in the roof of a one-bedroom house or of a one-room house that has an opening of a tefach in the skylight. So tuma babayis, if there's a dead body in the house anywhere, kulo tame. The whole thing is going to be tame. That's why it's in Maseches Olos, because Tumas Oel makes everything within that house that could become tame, tame when there's a dead body in there. But Masha Keneged Aruba Tar, but except that which is directly under the skylight, that is going to be Tar, because it's as if it's not under the Ohel, because there's this little bit of airspace. Now, a second case, Tumah Keneged Aruba. So if the source of the Tumah, meaning if the dead body is directly under the skylight, Kol Habayis Kulo Tar, the entire house is going to be Tar, because in this case, there's no roof over the mace, and it's not as if there's any ohel, because again, there's this airspace of a tefach. Now comes the Gemara and says, "Ein baruba poseach tefach." In the case of a skylight that does not have an opening of a tefach, tuma babayis, if there's a dead body anywhere, keneged aruba tahor, so that which is opposite the skylight is going to be tahor, but everything else is going to be tame. Tuma keneged aruba, but if the dead body is by the skylight, kol habayis kulo tahor, the entire house is going to be tahor. But what we see from here, this whole case of having the one tefach opening, we don't consider this as if it's closed off. Really, what we should say, if we did apply lavud, okay, so there's a gap of under three tefachim, we should just say it's as if it's really one big house and the whole thing is closed off. But that's not what we say. So this seems to clearly tell us that lavud is not going to apply in the middle of a house, because this skylight is in the middle of a house. Again, we should just consider it as if it's closed off because it's under three tefachim be'idach. So how would the other one answer this? How would he say that? No, really, lavud would apply in the middle. Shani hilchos tumah d'achi gemirulu. No, hilchos tumah are different because there's a separate halacha Moshe Mesinai teaching us how and when tumah would apply. Fine. So that was all about lavud, whether it applies in the middle or not. But now we're going to get back to Dofan Akumah. So Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai Bayis Shenifchas. So if you have a house, this situation that we've seen a few times on Daf Yud Zayin. So if you have a house whose roof caved in and now the owner puts tzlach on the opening, so k'sher, there's going to be a valid sukkah. Amar l'fana Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yossi, said to him, Rabbi Perish, you've got to explain further. Kach Perish Abba. So this is how my father explained. Arba amos psua, pachos mi arba amos k'shera. So if the distance between the legitimate tzlach and the wall is 4 amos, then it's going to be puzzle, if it's 4 amos or more, but if it's less than 4 amos, then it would be okay. And again, this is this concept of dofen akuma. Now, a similar type of thing. Darash Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai Avruma Sharia. So we have another type of back and forth in terms of explaining more of the initial statement. So he says that avruma, which is a small type of fish, this is going to be permitted to eat because it's unlikely that other shrutzim and not kosher fish became mixed in with them, even though you can't see them. Amar lefana Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yossi, said to him, Rabbi Perish, explain this further. Kacham Rabbi, so this is how my father explained. Shel makom poni asura. The avruma of a certain place are going to be usur because shrutzim would go into them. These similar non-kosher small fish would go into them, and that would be puzzle. But shel makom poni, but of the avruma, the small fish of a different place, they are going to be totally fine. Good. Now, once on the topic of fish, the Gemara is going to go on to another species of fish that are going to be allowed in some places, not others. So the tachanta from the river of Bav are going to be allowed because, again, similar shratzim, non-kosher fish, are not going to go into that river. So my time, why would there be no non-kosher fish in that river of Bav that we don't have to worry? So if you're going to say it's because the water flows really quickly, there's a major current, and these non-kosher fish, because they don't have any spinal cord, they're not going to be able to survive in such a river. So if you're going to tell me that that's the reason, but just look at the river, you see that there are these types of non-kosher fish, so that can't be true. Elo mishum de milchei maya. If you're going to tell me it's because the water of the river is very salty, and you're going to tell me that not kosher fish because they have no scales, they're not able to survive in such water. But again, just look at the water. We see that there are non-kosher fish, so it can't be. So what's the reason? So elo mishum de lo marbet tinayu dog tamei. Rather, the river above is going to be different because it's slit. It's the silt does not promote growth. Basically, the dirt underneath the river doesn't promote the growth of these non-kosher fish, and that's why it's going to be different. And that's why we don't have to worry about not kosher fish joining in there. Amar Ravina. Ravina said, "Va'idna deshafchei nahar Esan unahar Gamda la'asa masira." But nowadays, that the rivers of Esan and Gamda flow into the river above, so its fish are going to be usher because now not kosher fish could be mixed with it. So this is Daf Yud Ches Aleph. Everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful day.